This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
I'm sorry. Are you sure this is the podcast you were looking for? Really? Okay then. Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast. Every week, our sad little team discusses gaming in various forms, make stupid wisecracks, and generally embarrass themselves quite well with their so-called expert opinions. Remember, you did this to yourself.
Hey there, everybody. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
And, well, I want to apologize, first things first, to our many listeners, because I can now say, many listeners, we're in the four digits, people. Every week, four, count them, just barely, but still, it counts, man. Anyway, that makes many listeners, and to all my many listeners, I apologize for last week. That was my idea, and it was, in retrospect, not the best topic. I thought perhaps maybe it would have been a little more interesting, we had a little bit more debate, and in the end, let's face it, nobody wants a battle royale in an MMORPG.
No, it's kind of a dumb idea.
It's fucking stupid. So really, I could have come out and was like, why don't they add these into these games? And together we just could have said, because they're fucking stupid. End of show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people listening to us may have gone, they're insulted. Oh, we love Battle Royale. We're Fortnite forever.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. And I'm sorry.
I am so happy for you.
I thought we had a smarter audience than that, but whatever.
They're listening to us. How smart could they be?
That is an excellent point. That is a very excellent.
We just apologize to the audience and then we insult them.
Yes, but this is what we do. I mean, we've been in this for over a year. Come on. If they don't know by now what to expect, well then, yeah. They should, you know, it's not my fault that they're listening to us on their headphones while licking a window, okay?
Residue of clear or stuff called Windex. Yes.
You were thinking Lysol, weren't you?
Yes.
Windex, good.
Blue liquid.
Oh my god. Anyway, so next week we will be back into the three or maybe even two digits. Anyway, honestly, I'm sorry that we should and can do better than that. So
really,
we've done it better in the past. And if Rylea will ever come back, I guarantee you the shows will be more interesting. Some of our best shows she was on. And this is totally not a guilt trip to her who might be listening.
What, you think she listens? She's busy. She works. Hardest working woman I've ever met.
Hey, you know, I'm just kind of trying here, all right? I can't get anybody to go, hey, I'd like to be on your show too, as I look over at my wife.
I've talked to a couple people in there.
Yeah, we need somebody who's dedicated. Just,
you know, dragging them out of bed at an early hour on a Sunday.
It's what works for us. So we could do Monday if people prefer. Yeah, that's the sound of crickets. I know. Uh-huh. Anyway, point is, so we don't end up with a show like last week, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I thought we were talking about MMOs again.
Yes, but specifically about MMOs instead of battle royales and shit.
I don't remember.
You know, I put the notes up on Facebook for a reason.
Yeah, I'm not looking at Facebook right now.
You're playing Guild Wars 2, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
You still eating breakfast?
No.
Okay. Anyway, I got thinking again, which I know is a scary proposition.
A little bit, yeah.
We have lots of MMORPGs popping up over the last year. Either they've already come up or they're coming soon within the next year or so. There's lots of MMOs coming along. Some of them are localizations from Asian MMOs. Others are indie titles that have been in development for years. But the point is, the market is seeing a large surge of MMORPGs, more so than we've seen in a while. And I'm talking actual MMORPGs, not, well, PUBG is an MMO, right? No, it is not. Well, LOL is an MMO. No, stop that. Stop that. Just because there's a bunch of people playing it doesn't make it an MMO. Can you fit 1,000 people into a server of LOL? No, you can't. You have a team versus a team. That's it. It is an arena, MOBA, battle arena. That's it. Multiplayer, online, battle arena, MOBA, MOBA. That does not mean MMORPG. Massively multiplayer online role-playing game. Emphasis on the massively and role-playing game. You know? Wow. Rift. Elder Scrolls Online. That sort of thing. Anyway, we're seeing a large resurgence of these games. Either, as I said, either localizations from Asia, where like Black Desert Online, or Bless, games like that. Or you've got Shroud of the Avatar, you've got Camelot Unchained. There's several, basically, indie titles coming. Or you've got other games that are being reworked and re-released, effectively, such as Defiance is coming out. Trion's putting a new version of Defiance out. It's a Defiance 2050 or something like that.
So they're actually going to make it fun to play and interesting?
I have no idea. Believe me, I bought Defiance, okay? I know the shame of paying money for it.
Yes, but see, they're going to see if they can get you to do it again.
No, thank you. It was supposed to be a shooter that was also a role-playing game, and it turned out to be a really bad shooter, which also had a few role-playing elements that you couldn't get into because I was constantly getting killed. That's beside the point. I'm not good at shooters. Let's just leave it at that. Anyway, thing is, what got me thinking about this is that, you know, you've got all these different games either on the way or already out. And it almost feels like there's a resurgence to the MMORPG genre. After the last few years, let's be honest, it's been in massive decline. In some ways, most games have been holding on by the skin of their teeth simply by being free to play and making money off their cash shops. I don't know how some games like, what is that called? Fallen Earth? I can't even remember. It's so long ago.
I don't know what game you're talking about.
Fallen Earth. It was actually a really cool idea. It was a post-apocalyptic MMORPG. It's done in a action MMO style. It's got kind of a shooter sort of thing, mostly a first-person shooter sort of view. But they originally put it out, it was kind of like you versus zombies primarily, with some PvP and fighting against the elements and things like that. And it has its fun, and it's free to play, but it's gone through like two or three different publishers, and it's been sold from one development house to another, and I don't know how it survives, but it continues to survive. It's still out there.
Happy for them.
There may not be that many people playing it, but I'm looking at its website right now. It's right there to be played, available. They still have subscriptions for it. You can play it free to play or via subscription. And it's actually kind of amazing.
If you say so.
But the point is, there's all these games that continue to just hold on, and only a few that seem to thrive. And even then, World of Warcraft, when's the last time they put out their player numbers?
Well,
been a while.
Do that because every time they do and they post a severe decline, people think, oh, the game's dead, and they bleed even worse.
True. But they're also, coming up on that new expansion, which, gonna be honest,
shit about.
I'm not buying.
really? I mean, come on. PvP, again, you're going with the whole PvP angle.
Yeah.
How often has that actually worked for you?
Yeah, Warlords of Draenor, anyone? Does anyone remember that?
Oh, I definitely remember it because you were all over the housing.
Yeah.
You were talking about how great their housing system was. Yay. Yes. Ooh.
I'll be honest.
The only thing you have going for you is housing.
And it turns out it sucks. But the thing is that when you're first doing garrisons, it seemed like your first character through, it seems fun. You're actually, through the story, building and developing and growing this garrison and adding NPCs and making it exactly the way you want it to be, right? Because it's instanced. You go into it, it's a phasing thing. You could be running beside your friend and you both go into different versions of the same garrison. One is his, one is yours. You're the boss of each of them. And, you know, each other's or your own, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. Point is, on the surface of it, it seems great. And it was a 10-level grind, effectively right around that, to get it all leveled up, and then you got your ship port you had to do, and all to do the ships, and it was a lot of work, a lot of grind, getting you sending out your different minions out on missions and monitoring that and making sure they're, you know, leveling up properly and all this sort of thing, and that's great. Now do that for an alt, and then another alt, and then another.
Well, maybe they need to embrace Guild Wars 2's account-bound scenario, where you unlock your masteries on one player and it unlocks it for all your players.
Yeah.
So they don't have to go through that slog of building the masteries for each individual character.
Exactly.
That would have fucking killed the game had they done that.
Right. And it damn near killed WoW doing that with Warlords of Draenor, because not everybody just plays one character. In fact, after all these years, a lot of people play many characters. Like, you have, what, 9 different maxed out characters?
Well, on Guild Wars 2, yeah, but on WoW, I had 30 players.
Right.
Most of them were maxed out.
Oh, and it makes it worse, their whole flying thing, how you have to go and do all these mega achievements to be able to fly, involving some of the, you know, and this is per zone, not...
Right, well, I dropped out before that happened, so...
You have to do it for this expansion. Then you have to do it again for that expansion. Then do it again for the next expansion. And yeah, sure, they made it to where, okay, you do it once for one character, and then it unlocks for all your characters. Great. Still means I have to raid on at least one character. Fuck you.
So you have to be able to fly in a zone to raid at least a little while to unlock it.
In some of the expansions, yes.
That's retarded.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Tying anything to a one of the least popular modes in a game sounds like a dumb damn idea.
Oh, but their argument is that you can just do it through looking for raid, and it's a dumbed-down version. And yes, you're being thrown together with a bunch of other, you know, nameless people, but... You don't really need them anyway, and you can just force your way through, and it'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
Sure. I refuse.
No, thank you.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Point is, they're doing okay. They're still doing what they're doing, except for they're turning all the servers exactly the same with the new expansion, but that's another argument. Do you know they're not going to have PvE and PvP servers anymore? They're all going to be PvE.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're giving you bonuses for experience and loot drops if you flag for PvP. This is because nobody plays on PvP servers anymore.
Yeah. No, thanks.
Yeah. Anyway, point is, that's neither here nor there. We're completely off track. Well, we're still talking about MMORPGs, but the point is, things were looking pretty bleak. If you look at just the numbers for, like, WoW, last time they reported them, there were 6 million or under 6 million. But then you've got other games that, I mean, Elder Scrolls Online, last time I saw what they were reporting, they said they had 11 million people. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Until, of course, I saw just the other day, Tryon Worlds. They were just talking about, oh, you know, we're doing this and we're working on this. And they just bought out a another game development house to bring it into their fold. And that's fine. The people that made Marvel Heroes, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. They bought out that company because they were going under. And although they aren't going to be able to save Marvel Heroes, they at least get the rights to, you know, a lot of their other work and things like that. And that's great. And in their discussion about this, they happen to mention that they, you know, run these different games and mentioned Trove. Now, you've played Trove. It's that.
Yeah, it was.
It's kind of Minecraft, but also an MMORPG.
I wouldn't say it's an MMORPG, really. It's kind of, it's a massively multiplayer Minecraft.
Yeah.
Where if you want specific designs for, you know, you want to be able to build this certain item, then you have to raid these little mini dungeons. And I mean mini dungeons. They're really fucking tiny. To get a potential design, you know, you'll get like half a couch. And so you have to go and get the other half of that couch to have the full design. You get them real easy. And it, you know, there's such a huge array of designs that you're not duplicating very often.
That's cool.
But still, when you log in and there's just this wave of players, and I mean wave of players, just blasting out, and they're hitting every tiny little dungeon that shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not fast enough, you're going to get left in the dust and you're not going to get to hit any of them. And so you've spent all this time going from place to place to place to place to place to hit them. What me and my wife did is we figured out what was the optimal time when people would show up in huge groups.
Mm-hmm.
And we would work on our instanced home. We'd go in and we'd design and build and whatever and put up our trophies and all that nonsense. And then when that initial hour or so afterwards, where people had blown their wad and gone about their way,
yeah,
then we would go down and we'd start catching all the dungeons as they respawned, or all the mining areas that would as they'd respawn. But even then, it gets boring really fast.
Right.
Hopefully they've improved it since the last time we played, but
I don't know.
It wasn't my thing.
I've downloaded it. I haven't played it. I'm planning to play it soon, but and one of the main reasons why I'm planning to play it and possibly live stream it is that in that discussion of, you know, them buying this game company and whatnot, Tryon World CEO also mentioned that, oh yeah, Trove, by the way, yeah, 17 million players. A game like Trove with 17 million players.
I'm seriously not surprised. Like I said, when you'd log in at the, you know, the time, so like, you know, right after work, come home, you log in, and there is just players everywhere, and it's this huge wall of people all mowing out and just clearing the zone. I have no doubt that they're telling the truth about their population.
But that's the thing, though, is that everyone thinks of as WoW as the big enchilada. I mean, in the Western market, it's not even close in the Asian market. I mean, MapleStory for the win. Yeah.
Wasn't it like 100 million players in MapleStory?
Last I heard it was 70, but they're transitioning to MapleStory 2, so who knows what's going to happen with that. Point is, you know, that's actually coming to the Western market, and I probably will play that. It looks cute as hell, but, you know, it's very little chibi anime type of look, but still, whatever. 70 million people can't be that wrong. But, you know, people think of WoW as the big enchilada, and if the last player numbers are right, I'm sure they've gone up some for WoW in the lead-up to Battle for Azeroth. people always come back before the next expansion. So let's say that they're 6, 7, maybe even 8 million. Let's give them 8 million at this point, right? That would mean Trove, a game that most people haven't even heard of, or if they have, it was just in passing.
No, I'm pretty sure that they've heard of Trove. Trove has a pretty decent name in most gaming circles. Almost everybody knows Trove.
But
doesn't mean they play it, but everybody's heard of Trove.
There are theoretically 2 to 3 times as many players in Trove as WoW.
Well, and I can explain why. Because Trove is, when you play WoW, you are preparing yourself for an investment of time, for the most part. If you're going to get anything done, your dailies or whatever, you're looking at about half an hour, 45 minutes, in some cases, 3 or 4 hours, if you're going to be doing dungeons or raiding or whatever. There's a time allotment that you have to put towards it.
Sure.
Whereas Trove, you can log in, you can run out and do 1 or 2 of these mini dungeons and be done. You've got your gaming fix, you're done, and you log out. It's people playing in these short little bursts and knowing that they don't have to, they're not paying a subscription. They just show up, have a little fun, go away, and then they come back whenever they need that fix again.
Now, there is actually a subscription or patronage they can pay for, I do believe.
Yes.
If they want to get bonuses and... Or they can buy stuff off the cash shop. I mean, this is Tryon for, you know, Pete's sake.
Right.
I mean, they got to make their money somehow. But the point is, I was literally shocked by that. And it puts me in a weird space. It's like, okay, in some ways, it seems like the MMO industry is just hanging on by its fingernails. And they're breaking off rapidly, one by one. But in other ways, you look at games like Trove and you go, wow. Or Elder Scrolls Online, which I think everyone would say, yeah, no, it's absolutely a success. Sure, they weren't a success right out of the gate when they were subscription only, but they went free to play a year after release. And now it's, you know, a couple years down the line and they're thriving. You can't really argue that.
Guild Wars 2 is still thriving.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm having so much fun, but then again, I've got more people playing now.
Yeah. And when you said that, by the way, last weekend, I actually went out and bought Path of Fire.
Well, what I was hoping to do is I was hoping to get you, Jay, Sabrina, everybody who's got Path of Fire or Heart of Thorns or whatever.
I got to get the masteries unlocked, by the way.
Well, no. All I want you to do is I want you to take your instant level 80, build a throwaway character, just so we can all go together through, you know, to the starting part of the story and unlock the raptor for all the new players. Because right now, when we're running around, I've got, you know, all of the mounts unlocked except for the new one that just came out.
Well, the thing is, I still don't have masteries unlocked.
You don't need masteries unlocked to get this first raptor.
Right. I already have multiple 80s, so why would I need to make a new one?
Well, okay, you have 80s. Great. Jason doesn't. Brina doesn't. Sage, I think Sage does.
Why would Jason? I don't get why our cousin doesn't have 80s.
He probably used to. He played for a while. He probably gave that account away and started a new account.
Okay.
I don't know. All I know is we got a bunch of people we could just jump together and go unlock raptors for everybody who doesn't have it.
Right. Rawr.
And then if they don't like the character they've boosted to level 80, great. But it's at least it's unlocked for the character that they intend to play, the one that they wish to main.
So everyone would have access to that mount.
Right, because it's account bound, so you unlock it on one character, everybody gets it.
Oh, is that the same for all the mounts?
Yes.
Wow, that's kind of neat. But that's neither here nor there.
If you had to do the Griffin thing on every single character, again, people would be leaving in droves.
Oh, so they shouldn't call it a griffin. They should call it a garrison?
Sure.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Anyway, my point, though, here is, you know, like I said, the MMO industry kind of felt like it's, you know, failing. But then you got these success stories. So is it thriving?
I mean, no, it's holding steady. There's no huge winner. And there's a few that are just absolutely atrocious. Bless, I'm looking at you.
I was about to get to that.
Well, you can get into that in a second. But the rest of the games, they're in basically cruise control. They've set their cruise control and they're just moving. They're just progressing.
Right.
They're not really having any huge successes. They're not having any losses. They're just kind of hovering. They're treading water and moving forward.
Right. Like Wildstar, who hasn't had any content for a year.
That's different. The games I'm talking about, they're introducing new content. I mean, Somerset Isle came out for Elder Scrolls.
Well, Elder Guild Scrolls Wars is 2, clearly thriving.
Guild Wars 2 has the next part of their Living Story just came out, and that's where the new Roller Beetle mount has come out. Trove has a new expansion coming out.
Yep, they do.
So there's a lot of the games, they're not just dead in the water. When I say they're treading water, that means they're keeping their head above water and they're still moving forward. Now, WildStar, if you haven't put out content of any kind for the last year, you're barely keeping your head above water.
Right.
Possibly, you're not even doing that.
Yeah, and that's too bad because they're a good game. Well, they
could have been a good game.
Yes.
We've already had a show about that.
Right.
What did WildStar do to fuck it up so bad?
Yeah, a lot of things.
Yes.
But one part of this that I really wanted to look at, and you kind of mentioned momentarily, briefly before, is all these game companies that are bringing over Asian MMOs. They have been for years, but they're, you know, basically they don't have to develop them. They're just localizing them, changing up the languages for the Western market. So English, French, Spanish, whatever, German.
I'm all for that. I really am.
It saves the money.
If you've got a really good game, a really just amazing game, and it's, you know, it's Asia only, and somebody goes and buys the rights to it and transfers everything over to the Western market and introduces it to the Western market, I'm for that 100%, but you have to choose games that are good, that have content, that are worth it. Don't do Bless. Bless is a steaming pile of crap that hasn't worked, as far as I know, since day one. It's broken in so many ways. It is one of the worst choices they could have made. And they bring it over to the Western market and they pumped it up. I mean, the hype train was massive on this. I'd been hearing
Indeed. All
kinds of amazing things. They just promised the moon and beyond, and they delivered nothing but a steaming turd on your porch.
Yeah.
And
it's a broken mess.
They wonder why the players are mad. Why the fuck do you think the players are mad? Because you promised them everything and you gave them nothing. Why do you think Steam is so pissed off? Because people were buying it through Steam and then all of a sudden everybody wants a refund.
Yeah.
Steam expects, yes, there's going to be a small percentage of people who want a refund, no matter what the game is. They don't like it for this reason or this, or it doesn't play on their system or whatever fucking reason there is. There's going to be some people who just want a refund. But when 90%+ of the people who buy it demand a refund within 3 days, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's basically Mass Effect Andromeda all over again for them.
And I don't blame Steam. They should be going back on the company that did it through or brought it to Steam to sell.
But here's the thing.
They should just fucking hammer them with a lawsuit.
I went and looked into it because I'm thinking, oh, it had to be some, it wasn't Tryon. I knew it wasn't them, but I'm like, what company did this? I mean, it must've been some company that had some experience bringing, you know, localizing a game for the, Western market. You know who did it? NeoWiz.
No, don't know them.
Yeah, they're the company that originally developed Bless for Korea.
Wow.
And who tried to make it for... Well, they tried to localize it in Japan a few years ago, if I remember right, and it failed. And they tried to localize it in Russia, and it failed. And now they're trying to localize it here, and it's just going on 2 months now. Within the first month, it was a complete and utter shit show failure. And, you know, that's bad. But let me ask you this. Can you tell me one Asian MMO? Actually, you know what? Any MMO that's outside of the Western market that has been localized for the Western market that has been a success.
No, because all the Asian MMOs, I shouldn't say all, but most of them are massive grind fest. I mean, mind-numbingly horrible grinds.
Yeah.
You want anything, you have to grind for weeks to get it.
And it's the thing, it's a different... their style of games is completely different than ours.
And so for the most part, it's not going to work in the Western market.
You can't
But they're
going
to keep trying because it's cheap. You know,
yeah, they think
buy the rights and you bring it over, you do a little translation, a little voice acting, boom, 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 put it out. Ta-da!
Yep, throw that stuff into Google Translate and go!
I think that was one of the complaints with Bless, is that
exactly
all of the things was they used Google Translate.
Yes. Well, we don't know for sure, but most people theorize that they effectively used Google Translate.
That was the theory that I'd been hearing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's actually happened, but that's what it felt like.
The localization is horrible. The systems don't work. But it's not just Bless. Black Desert Online came out for the Western market a few years ago. It's been open in Asia for years, right? And it looks good. And people enjoyed it. I know people who played it and said it was fun. Especially if you play the PvP, they enjoyed that a lot. But then when it came down to it, I asked him like 3 weeks later, so are you still playing BDO? Is it worth getting into? He's like, no. Okay, well, is there a reason why? I mean, is there something? I was like, nope, it sucks. Just don't bother. You won't like it. That was it.
Yeah.
In the end, it was just another grind fest. And there are fans of the game, but hell, there are people playing ArcheAge, which Tryon Worlds did their best to localize, but people were thinking, oh, it's pretty and it's got PvP and we can play pirates and shoot at each other with ships and it'll be fun. And that's not, I mean, it is what they got, but they got a grind fest and with a cash shop. With pay to win, because that's what these games are. Mm-hmm. And then they got mad at Tryon because it's all your fault. You guys are just ripping us off. No, this is the game we brought over to you. It's actually worse where it came from. So, seriously, what the fuck did you expect? I just, you know, I cannot imagine why these companies continue to try and do this. Is it simply because the investment is so small and they're hoping to somehow knock it out of the park? And
I don't think they're expecting to knock it out of the park. I think it's more like they want to hype it up, sell it to as many people as possible, and then with that profit that they've made, be done.
Yep, they can just let it roll and
until it fails.
Until it finally collapses. I seem to think some people are like looking at it as like, hey, you know, Final Fantasy XI, hey, that was a good game, wasn't it? And hey, Final Fantasy XIV, doing real well in the West, as well in Japan. Hey, we could be the next one of them. Man, they're one of the top MMOs, right? There's a reason why Final Fantasy works here. because we know Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
It's a title that we've had for decades. It's something we've loved for decades. If Bless had been, if they had put out, you know, the original Bless, let's say they had a, you know, a little 8-bit version of it on the Nintendo back in the 80s, and it's had, you know, iterations through the 90s and 2000s and all that, all the way up to now when Bless Online comes out, and it actually worked, if they had done that, then maybe it would have been a rampant success, even with some problems. But it wasn't.
Nope.
You can't compare Final Fantasy to your shitty little Asian grind fest. And I know people will say, well, that's racist. It's not about race at all. It's about there's Asian grind fest style MMOs, and then there's the ones in the Western market. They are completely different animals.
Well, it's because they know, or at least have some idea of what the players like. The Western market, grind fests don't tend to last very long. People get bored quickly.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas in Asia, you've got somebody who's willing to sit in a cafe for like 2 days straight and play this game until they fall over dead.
And it's happened. And
I know.
That actually is how, that actually gets to the core of the thing. In the Western market, you see more theme park MMOs where you go from this ride to that ride to that ride. And there may be grinds, like in Lord of the Rings Online. They've got some pretty horrific reputation grinds and grinds for deeds to raise up your traits. Fine. But for the most part, it's go do these quests and go do this dungeon or this skirmish or this raid. You can go and do these fun things bouncing about. You don't have to do the grind. It's there if you want to, or you feel like you got the time, it's what you want to do, whatever. With the grind fests in Asia, they're here, we either it's free to play, buy to play, or you pay a subscription, a monthly subscription. You could play as much as you want for your $15 a month, let's say, for WoW, right? In Asia, you pay by the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't have, you don't buy the game, you get it for free, you just create an account, and you pay by the hour. If you play for 20, 30 hours all in a shot, if you want to, fine. Or if you play a few hours a week, well, you're saving money there. But the whole point is to try and force you to play more, thus the soul-crushing grind. Thus why they're called grind fests. You understand this, I understand this. I'm saying this for the people who don't get it. Those in the back. Yeah, the 12 of you that are still with us. By the way, hi. iTunes, I could use a 5-star review. I know I just insulted you, but really, I would appreciate that. Thank you. That's not the point. Thing is, you can't bring that grind fest to the Western market without basically tearing the game apart and rebuilding it from scratch so that it works. Tryon tried to do that to some degree with Arcage, and it was an utter failure because they didn't go far enough. They wanted to keep the soul of what Arcage was, which is what people said they wanted. But then when confronted with the soul-crushing grind and the, hey, what do you mean I can't get that plot of land for my house? Somebody else already has it. You mean there's only so many places for houses in this game? Well, that sucks. Things like that. Little things that just, it doesn't work. And that was a game that they tried for many years to work on, to update, to get it going. It's still going, but I don't know how much they're doing for, you know, new content. I haven't heard of anything really going on.
Actually, Lineage 2 has a new expansion coming out.
That's Lineage 2. I'm talking Arcage.
Yeah, it's Arcage Lineage.
No, Arcage is a separate game. Lineage 2 is its own game.
All right.
No, it really is. I swear to God.
That's fine. I believe you.
There was Lineage 2. And yeah. Point is, we have all these companies that think, oh, we'll save money and we'll just bring it over. And you can't. It doesn't work. So with that in mind, with all these new games coming, if you separate out the failed Asian grindfests like BDO and Bless, you take that all out of the thing, and any further ones that are coming for localization, because they're probably going to fail. Even Maple Story 2. Sorry, but it's not the same type of game that you play here. I don't expect it to be a huge success in the West. I'm sure to be massive in Asia, but not here. I'll try it, but whatever. Point is, that's not going to be a success. So what does that leave? You've got games like Shroud of the Avatar. It's basically a spiritual successor for Ultima Online. I tried Ultima Online. I didn't like it. Kind of sucked. You got Camelot Unchained. That's a spiritual successor for Dark Age of Camelot.
Yeah.
I tried Dark Age of Camelot.
Didn't like it.
I didn't like it. Kind of sucked. Mm-hmm. Hey, but Dark Age of Camelot, don't leave them out. They're planning to release a free-to-play version. They pushed that back to 2019, but hey, they're still relevant. Don't forget about us. Yeah, okay. Oh, but wait, there's Crowfall. Crowfall is the only interesting game I see down the pike coming in the next 2 years. One game. One new game that even seems like it has anything new or innovative coming along. And it isn't even that innovative. It's very politically based, and you can fight your way up to being the head of your server, actually. And there's, you know, all kinds of intrigues and whatnot. It's kind of hard to describe. You'd have to look it up. Point is, there's a lot going on there. And if they pull it off, it could be really good. And I know our podcast doesn't go back to 3 years or so, or however, that's just like 5 years now. I don't remember. Anyway, point is, back to before WildStar, a year or so before WildStar, I was saying the same exact things about that game because it was in the same exact situation. So which is it going to be? And does the MMO market, does the MMO genre in the West really kind of on a balance here? Does it go the way based on how Crowfall goes? Is Crowfall going to be more like Elder Scrolls Online in success? Or is it going to be more like WildStar in manner of success?
I guess it really depends upon what they do with it.
Exactly. And we're going to have to wait and see. But I think that a game like that is probably going to end up being a good barometer for how the MMO genre is going to go for the next 10 years. Is it going to continue to just tread fucking water? Or are we going to see games actually come out that grow and go like Elder Scrolls Online and Trove, which, to be honest, are basically becoming the World of Warcrafts of 2005. You know, back when you had EverQuest 2 and World of Warcraft and City of Heroes as the big games. Well, are we seeing them go away, fade away? Well, obviously we're seeing most of those fade away, but...
Well, if Trove is going to be one of the barometers of future games, maybe we'll see better games.
I certainly fucking hope so.
I mean, there are a lot of games out there that are doing fairly well. And the main reason they're doing fairly well in the MMO market is because they cater to the casuals.
Absolutely.
And that's the point that most of these companies are missing, which still leaves me questioning, why is WoW going with another expansion that's based around PvP? The last two that they've put out that were based around PvP were dismal failures. But they keep going back to that. You'd think that, you know, somebody would get a clue after, you know, the first two go up in flames. Hey, maybe PvP isn't the way we should be going.
Well,
no, there, fucking shit.
There's two answers to that. First of all, and I'm not trying to take Blizzard's side on this, but two things here. First of all, their dismal failures is generally a roaring success for most other games. Because Yeah, they may only sell, you know, 6 to 10 million boxes of a game, you know, of an expansion, but that expansion kept players playing on average for a year worth of subscription on top of that, plus any other charges or fees they might have raked up from buying mounts or something like that off their store. And two, Blizzard thinks that they can do no wrong, and they've got a pretty good argument as to that, because most of the stuff they do tends to be gold. So if they can go with the conceit of, well, you know, it may not have been as big as we'd hoped last time, but this time we've got it down. It's going to take them putting out an expansion that nobody buys and almost everybody leaves the game before they go, oh, yeah, shit. And by then, maybe it's too late. At this point, their WoW is basically too big to fail. There's always going to be fanboys that follow along, but for if it ends up with 1 million subscribers and that's where it sits, is that going to be enough for Blizzard? At that point, they're probably just going to go, yep, retired. We're moving on to new things.
Well, I would love to see Blizzard put, you know, some of their brightest designers into something new. I would really like to see a sci-fi MMO that's fun to play. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. They can put that out as soon as they can put that out as soon as they've released Diablo, the MMO RPG. I want them to do nothing else before that.
Yes, but see, the Diablo MMO is one of those, it could be brilliant or it could be utter crap. You know, the Elder Scrolls, they were promising this was going to be, you know, the Skyrim Morrowind kind of experience, but it's MMO, so you'll have other people playing. And that was what got me, you know, thrilled about it, because I've liked the Skyrim type games for, you know, decades. And so I was hoping, you know, an MMO version, that would be awesome. And then it was just this, I don't know, confusing pile of crap that has very little to do with Skyrim or any of the other worlds, any other things. It just...
Let me see. How did I describe that? How did I describe Elder Scrolls Online when I was in the beta? Let's see. It's brown and gray and boring everywhere.
It hasn't gotten much better. It's playable, but it doesn't have the feel of the Elder Scrolls world.
Right.
It just doesn't.
Yeah.
And now they've got, you know, if they're going to be, they're talking about making a Fallout MMO, which I can see failing spectacularly. And now you're talking about a Diablo MMO, which could be great, or it could be like their first attempt at Diablo Online with Battle.net.
Yeah.
It was okay if there was one or two people in your area, but otherwise it was just garbage.
Well, here's the thing, though. Again, not wanting to take up for Blizzard, but I've been playing Diablo 3, and it is absolutely fun as hell. If they brought that great story, or a story as good as that, into the base storyline for this that's theorized MMORPG, which a lot of people are talking about, maybe announced at BlizzCon, in which case, woohoo! But, don't want to get my hopes up too much. But, thing is, if they were to do that, and also include the procedurally generated loot and maps, you know, dungeons-wise, that you could do solo or in a group of whatever size you want, if they were able to do that and give you the ability to basically just sandbox it, go wherever you want to do, you can do the storyline and then go do whatever you want afterwards, that would be, and even bring in the idea of seasonal characters into it, which you'd have to just read up on them. They're freaking great. Point is, you go and do that, oh my god, you have all my money. That's all I will play. Period. Holy crap. So much fun. I guarantee You would absolutely adore that. Hell, you should be playing Diablo 3. It makes Diablo 2 look like nothing.
Yeah, but I don't know.
It's good.
I have very little time to game right now, and I just don't want to add something else to my plate.
I'm just saying. Anyway, I don't want to get off on another tangent because we've already, you know, we're an hour in at this point.
Holy crap.
I just looked at the timer going, yep, we just broke the hour mark. Now, obviously, with edits, not that I edit a huge amount, but with the big gaps in sound removed and a few things cleaned up, yeah, it's going to be under an hour, but we probably should finish now.
Could we say everything we needed to say?
No, but, you know, I could bitch about this topic forever. I mean, I could take one way or the other, depending on how, you know, my brain is going at the time. MMOs are looking to thrive. Look at Trove. MMOs are going to die in the next 5 years. Look at Bless. You could literally make either argument and be equally correct.
I wouldn't say that, because if you're looking at the viability of a genre with one or two examples, you're not giving a fair evaluation in either direction. I think on average, MMOs are doing okay, and they're just trucking along. Well, there are winners and there are losers, but for the most part, most everybody's just cruising along happy.
Yes, but doing okay and trucking along before free-to-play came to the Western market, literally hundreds of games. You can look at the list of games at MMORPG.com, where they list all the different MMOs that are pretty much in operation right now. The vast majority of them would be under, would just be completely closed years ago if there were not free-to-play to prop them up, because they're not making no money off subscriptions. And back then, subscriptions were the thing. And there's a lot of great games like The Secret World, who would not have survived without going free-to-play. Well, buy-to-play. We don't talk about Secret World Legends. I'm, again, not liking it. That's not the point. And that's a different topic. It's not an MMORPG, so it can fuck off. Point is, I was just saying that...
gamers ADD. You know I that, do. Right?
I do. Except for Lotro. I will kick and claw and scream to be able to play Lotro, even if it keeps crashing on my machine. If you were here, I would poke you in the eye for that. My point is,
where I live.
I'm not driving across town to poke you in the eye.
That's because I'll slap that shit out of you.
You would. You're bigger than me. I'm smarter, but that's not the point.
Uh-huh.
My wife is getting very, very irritated right now. She keeps pointing at the clock on my phone. Anyway. My point about mentioning Trove versus Bless is not to say one game is an example that you could go with. Obviously, you go with, okay, here's Trove and Elder Scrolls Online and WoW's still doing okay. And what about Final Fantasy and Guild Wars 2? You can point out all these games that are thriving. Mm-hmm. They're doing well. Or I could talk about Bless and BDO and Fallen Earth and any number of games that are either bad localizations or are just the original Defiance having to be replaced by another game because it shit the bed out the market and never recovered. Point is, you could go either way. I'm not going to go both ways. Instead, I think we should close this puppy down. I'm obviously really, really tired and need to go to bed soon.
Well, why don't you go spend time with your wife and then crash?
Yeah, actually, lunch would be good. Lunch would be very good. And then a few hours of sleep before I podcast all night. Or not, sorry, live stream all night.
Have fun.
It's not fun. No, it is. But it's not. You try and talk for 5 hours straight.
I don't have the want to do that. Well, I don't have a lot to say.
My wife is going, catchphrase! You're right. I'm rambling. It's time. So, until next time, if anybody wants to download this again, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Cheers. generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you actually listened to the whole episode? I'm frankly shocked, and have lost a little bit of respect for you, to be honest. But since you are obviously a glutton for punishment, why don't you drop by our new website, scoreme.com? It can't be a much bigger time waster than this podcast has been, can it? Actually, yes, it totally can, but check it out anyway.